Streaming 24-7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more. TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth. Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show and my discussion with Dr. Mark Beckhoff, author of Wild Justice, The Moral Lives of Animals, written with Jessica Pierce, and his brand new book that we're going to be talking about in just a moment, The Animal Manifesto, 6 Reasons for Expanding Our Compassionate Footprint. I have photographs of the animals we've been talking about that you can see on my website. And to get there, all you have to do is click the purple Look While You Listen button that you see on the Talk Zone show homepage, and that will take you to wildaboutpets.net. Our phone lines are also open. You can call 888-463-6748 if you'd like to ask a question, or you can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. Right now we're looking at the cover of the Animal Manifesto. It's down towards the bottom, and it has a picture of an elephant. I love elephants.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Beckhoff, what is an animal manifesto?
Well, it's a lot of things, but what we want it to be would be basically sort of a summary of what animals are asking of us, you know, what we can do for them, but what they want from us. And so to that end, actually, before I started writing the book, I started developing the idea of what I call the compassion footprint. And so what we basically did was cash out their manifesto in terms of 6 reasons for expanding our compassion footprint. And would you like me to read them?
Yes. Well, a question that occurs to me is, what do you mean by compassion footprint? Will that be answered by the 6 reasons, or should we answer that first?
Well, no, let's just do it. What I mean is how we can spread compassion through the world, the idea that compassion begets compassion, that, you know, the carbon footprint, how we're in, you know, usually in a negative way, how we're negatively influencing the world. Compassion footprint is how we can add compassion to the world, the footprint of compassion, if you will.
Okay.
But it's just kind of like taking off on the notion of the carbon footprint, developing what I like to call corridors of compassion.
And you're specifically referring to compassion towards the non-human animals that share the planet with us?
No, actually, the manifesto is really a very broad-based book on what I call the umbrella of compassion and the footprint, showing that, you know, when we expand compassion to non-human animals, we're also expanding it to people. No.
Mm-hmm.
People are very important here. And, you know, one of the messages of the manifesto, but I'll just jump to it now since it came up, is that people who care about animals people who care about animals do not, you know, diss people. You know, there's a lot of people who care about people who diss animals.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite isn't. So, no, the compassion footprint really spreads the goodness and the compassion and empathy to all living beings.
Okay. What are the 6 reasons for expanding our compassion footprint?
Well, the first reason is all animals share the earth and we must coexist.
Mm-hmm.
The second is animals think and feel. The third is animals have and deserve compassion. The fourth is connection breeds caring. Alienation breeds disrespect. The fifth is our world is not compassionate to animals. And the sixth is acting compassionately helps all beings and our world. And it's the sixth one, you know, that's interesting because it does help all beings in the world, not only animal beings.
So let's talk about practical application of this. Let's say for number 5, that we are not acting compassionately right now. And of course, that's the tough one and that gets right to the heart of things. And this is where people, you know, might bristle a little. Can you give us some examples of what we would do or what you are asking people to do?
Sure. And it's actually, to me, the easy one because one of the main messages of Animal Manifesto is that it's really simple to increase and expand our compassion footprint. So, for example, and you're right, it does raise hackles. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be eating or wearing animals. And so how can we increase compassion, say, if one is a good old carnivore? Well, as a start, if they eat, you know, I always use the example of cheeseburgers, but if they eat 5 cheeseburgers a week, cut back to 2. Do not eat factory farmed meat. Mm. Make a choice that if you want to slowly wean yourself from eating animals, so you may go to free ranging animals or animals who don't live on factory farms. I mean, I'm vegan and I wish the world were vegan, but mm-hmm. I know that it's going to be a tough battle, if you will. But that's not what I'm trying to say. What you're saying in that, and the reason that, like I'm saying, it's so easy, I always tell people when I give talks that if you want to make a difference in the world right now, and I mean literally, you know, 5 minutes after a lecture I give or someone gives or a book or an article that you read, go out for dinner and choose vegetarian alternatives. If you feel you need to have a meat meal, ask for the source of the meat, and invariably, you know, most restaurants, it's going to be factory farmed, mm-hmm. and then choose a vegetarian alternative. And the bottom line is that when we buy something, it's a vote for that product to be made and for the product to be sold. We don't need to wear animals either. There's, mm-hmm. I mean, there's non-leather, non-animal alternatives that are cheaper and more durable. So that's basically the bottom line of the book, is that each individual can make a difference, and we just have to own our choices. And the other line that I think is really important, Susan, is that there are people who don't have those alternatives. And, you know, we right. can get into cross-cultural comparisons. A lot of it comes down to socioeconomics. So you can ask them to change their lives, too. But one of the points I make in the manifesto is it's not true that everyone in the world has that great luxury like we do of making alternative choices.
Yes, you're right. So
make sure that we who can do it. And so, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. I'm not asking, you know, people to change their lifestyles radically overnight. The other argument, of course, of the manifesto is that the people who care about animals and Earth shouldn't be viewed as the radicals.
Oh, yes, and right now they are.
They are, and it's wrong. It's just wrong. I think people who love and have compassion and empathy should be looked at as the model, you know, the template to which we all, you know, aspire, if you will. So it bothers me when I start, you know, hearing about, oh, even me, you know, Mark Benioff, the radical scientist. I'm thinking, why am I radical? I've won scientific awards. I do good science.
Right.
Am I radical because I want to treat animals and the earth better?
Mm.
Why aren't the people who wantonly abuse animals and do horrible things to landscapes and bodies of water and the air, why aren't they radical? So one thing I'm very proud about on the Animal Manifesto, it got really good reviews, it got really good blurbs, and almost everyone who's read it or reviewed it sees it as a gentle book. And that's the other message of the book, is that we need to be gentle and compassionate with one another. No in your face, no screaming at people, no, you know, demeaning people. Talk to people, because long and enduring changes, deep changes, take a while.
Yes.
And we're asking for a social movement, and we just need to be nice to one another. It's
yes.
simple.
And I like what you're saying also, because as I was listening, I was thinking about the people who, let's say, for some of the reasons you mentioned, can't exactly follow through on all the points, but they still want to do something.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like in the manifesto, under some of these different reasons, there are different examples of what people could do.
Oh, yes, yeah, simple ones. I mean, just so simple. You know, I do a lot of work with Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one was this little boy who, when his elderly neighbor got ill, he shoveled her the snow, walked her dog, and got her mail and went to the store. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So
he took care of, you know, her animal, and he took care of her, and he was, you know, sure that, you know, people in the neighborhood, the community, you know, would have, you know, a non-icy path on which to walk. It's just so simple, but really the simplest thing is in our purchasing power, our purchasing habits,
mm-hmm.
that We don't need to eat animals. We surely don't have to eat a factory-farmed animals, and we don't have to wear them. And people can do that, like I said. And the other message of the Animal Manifesto, which is something that came up to me when I was talking to one of my dogs, was that it's not what we're eating or what we're wearing when we talk about animals. It's who we're eating and who we're wearing. And I gave a paper in Auckland, New Zealand last year, last couple months ago, actually, and I actually had two people come up that who said to me, you know, that I will not eat animals anymore because I never thought of them as being a who, not a what.
Right, right. Well, the thing that I was struck with, Dr. Beckhoff, is after reading The Emotional Lives of Animals and Wild Justice, you probably can tell I have had this sense that, you know, these animals are a lot more emotional and complex than we've given them credit for. But the books, and again, I encourage everyone to read them, so well, you know, marries the science that's very accessible and the stories that one is left thinking, well, if this is the case, holy cow, how are we going to change this? What can we do? And what I love about your Animal Manifesto is it offers to each one of us, and me personally, here's what you can do. And if enough of us do it, I think then we will have the major change that you are talking about.
Exactly. Right. It's just, you know, I'm writing a new book called Rewilding Our Hearts, and it's going to the notion of community and forming, like I said, these corridors of compassion and just really, really getting to the heart of the matter is that we are all interconnected and we are a community. And just like we build corridors among animals, we can build corridors among people.
Oh, that's a beautiful conclusion. And Dr. Beckhoff, I love that you're holistic, that it's, that you are trying to blend, you know, compassion, as you said, for both humanity and for all the animals. And
yeah.
That's wonderful. We are out of time. My guest today has been Dr. Mark Beckhoff, author of Wild Justice, The Moral Lives of Animals, written with Jessica Pierce, and his newly released book, The Animal Manifesto, 6 Reasons for Expanding Our Compassionate Footprint. You will find the link to his website, www.markbeckhoff.com, and how to offer his books on the page of photos on my website, wildaboutpets.net, and also on the episode page on talkso.com. Dr. Beckhoff, thank you so much for being on my show today. Again,
pleasure. Thank you so much. You do a great job. I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, wonderful. I do too. My website is wildaboutpets.net. Remember, net rhymes with pet. That's wildaboutpets.net. Let me know if you have any stories about what you've seen in your animals, compassion or empathy. Send them to Susan at wildaboutpets.net. Thank you for listening.